It's not easy to read the Passion. As we get older, maybe we have a deeper connection, and it stirs our emotions, moves us to all sorts of the sadness and the brokenness, the regret of our own past. When I taught high school students, to try to help them understand the human condition was damaged, not destroyed, but certainly we're all sick in some way, original sin. One of the proofs I used to give, I have twin nephews, and they're almost 20 years old now, but when they were little, they came to visit my mom, their grandma, and Nate was going to go down the steps. They weren't even a year old yet, and little kids to go downstairs, they kind of slide down on their belly. And their dad said, "Nate, don't go down the stairs." In the meantime, his twin brother, Zach, made some noise over here. Twins have their own way of communicating. So Tom says, "Zach, what are you doing?" Nate went down the stairs. It's not a sin because he's too little, but there's something in us that even from the beginning, there's like a rebelliousness, a disobedience. The other thing I used to use by way of evidence for original sin is the tough topic of cruelty, how we can be so cruel, so teach and treat each other so shabbily, things that just seem so beyond the pale. Like, how could we do that? When I was a kid growing up on a farm, this is a kind of a blind spot, mostly boys, not girls, but sometimes we'd do things to animals, and unless we were trained and taught that you shouldn't ever do that, it was a blind spot that we had. Where did that come from? That we could think that that was okay. I grew up reading Laura Ingalls Wilder, all those Little House on the Prairie books. They're fantastic. Eventually, they made it into a TV series, and I remember one, and you can find anything these days. You can look up and do the research, and this was an episode November 30th of 1981. This is the description of that particular show. An overweight boy named Elmer Miles comes to Walnut Grove with his family and attends the school where he is mercilessly treated and teased by his new classmates. I still remember that. I was 8 years old, old enough to know that there's right and wrong and there's good and evil. I remember by the end of that show, I was crying. Now, I've experienced cruelty on both ends. I've given out my share too. And that's what makes this gospel so difficult, is the cruelty that we show to Jesus. And it's not just the physical stuff. We used to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words that never hurt me, they do. They can actually hurt worse than anything else. To revile him and to scorn him and to tell him that you're a failure, save us and save yourself. All the ways that cruelty can come out is a sign of our brokenness. It's a sign of our sickness. And it was for this reason that God sent his Son, so that we could learn not to hurt each other, not to do any harm, to recognize that charity calls us to love all God's people. Cruelty, where does that come from? We think it's a sign of something that was damaged way back at the beginning of the world. The response to cruelty is God's patience. I was thinking of when Pope Benedict was elected in 2005, his first Mass. I got up early because I remembered him when he was still Cardinal Ratzinger, and I wanted to see what he looked like as a pope. I wanted to hear what he had to say. He talked about God's patience and how we suffer God's patience. We get tired of God being so slow. We look at the world and we say, "Do something. You're all powerful. You're supremely good." We suffer his patience until we think about our own life and how many times he's given us another chance, how many times he draws us back, he forgives us, he takes away the sins of the world, yours and mine. And then there's this beautiful quote that I've encountered a few times during Lent, which must mean that it's meant for me, maybe for you too. It says that the world is redeemed by God's patience. It's destroyed by the impatience of man. Redeemed by God's patience, destroyed by our impatience. I don't know about you, but many times in my life, because we hit the panic button, we think it's never going to work out, it's never going to happen, I'll never find true love, I'll never have the family I wanted, I'll never get the career, I'll never get the respect, it'll never be what I wanted. But that's not true. But when we hit that panic button, we can make some pretty big messes. We can do some real harm, especially sometimes to ourselves. The patience of God in the end wins out. We hurt him. He will never hurt us. He permits us to go through some things. And if we grieve and we are in pain, he's with us. He understands us. He came to heal us, to redeem us, to show us the way home. The cruelty of man is met by the patience of God, and we know how it ends. A lot of us are moved by invitation when someone encourages us. They reach out to us. When I was in college, I remember one time I was playing baseball, playing catch out front, and the priest came out. It was like a Tuesday or Wednesday. You didn't have to go to Mass, but he said, "You want to come in and attend Mass?" I didn't have any reason to say no, so I did. And that invitation was the first time I started to do more than the bare minimum. I started to think, maybe if God so loved the world, it's time for me to accept that and to start serving a little more generously. That invitation was a gift that keeps on giving. I want to invite you. Holy Thursday, the washing of the feet, the institution of the Eucharist, the priesthood, all those gifts that have changed our life, that have given us hope, that have drawn straight with our crooked lines. I want to invite you to Good Friday when we venerate the cross, the wood that washes away all sin and reconciles heaven and earth. I want to invite you to the Easter Vigil, which is the great celebration of the light that conquers darkness. People coming into the church for the first time. All the readings that summarize the story of how God loves us. I want to invite you to Easter Sunday, the empty tomb, that God, he did die, but he couldn't stay dead because he was God after all. I want to invite you to spend your Holy Week here at Holy Name with Jesus, with me and the deacon and all the good people who feel drawn to this mystery. There's cruelty, there's God's patience, and there's an invitation. Now it's up to us to decide.